Please sit down. Okay. So, where have we got to so far? Someone remind me of some of the things that we've been learning. So what's the Christian life like? What's it a bit like? Anything? Total wipeouts. Okay, so here we are. Christian life, a bit like being on a total wipeout course. You're hurtling down this course, you're heading for the prize, you want the goal, but along the way there are all sorts of things that will try and knock you off the course. So sucker punches, what were you going to say? No, you look like you're going to say something intelligent for a second then. Sucker punches to knock you off the course, troubles that come your way, temptations that come your way. There are several points on the course of the Christian life where you might think, help, I'm going to fall. Help, I'm going to tumble down. And what help is available to us? What do we do to stay on the gospel course? We preach the gospel to ourselves. And we preach it with three words. What are the three words? Can you say them with me nice and loud? One, two, three. Called, love, kept. Fantastic. And so tomorrow morning, in the bathroom, putting on the makeup. That's not you boys. Don't you do that. When you're putting on the makeup, when you're getting yourself ready for church in the morning, what are you going to say? You're going to say, I'm called, I'm loved, I'm kept. I'm called, I'm loved, I'm kept. Because that is how we will lift our eyes from the danger that's below us to tumbling down to the one who will keep us. You guys ready for one final session? You're looking like you've got to the end of the day, okay? It's the last big push at the gym, all right, today. This is what we've got to do. So, I want you to have a look with me, just a couple more verses in Jude. Can you do this? So we're going to read our verse again, verse 1, just halfway through. To those who have been called, who are loved in God the Father, and kept for or by or in Jesus Christ. And now flick over with you to verse 24. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. About a year ago, year and a bit ago, me and my wife, we moved house because we were moving somewhere to start a church. Now, my wife has a piano, and this piano is very precious to my wife. It was a gift. And on moving day, I have to confess, it was a very nervous day for my wife. As she watched these men who did not speak our language pick up her precious piano and carry it out the house. She was like this. As they were carrying it, it's creaking, and they had it on this kind of wobbly trolley that was like miniature compared to the piano. They lifted it onto the back of this van, they strapped it in, they covered it with a cloth. And the question that was going through my wife's mind was this: will it make it? Will it get to the new house in one piece? Will this piano survive the journey? Or will it all be over? Will it make it? And do you know what? As a Christian, sometimes we are tempted to ask the same question. We are tempted to say, will I make it? We are called, we're loved, yes, but will I get to heaven? Will I get to this destination of being with Jesus forever? Will I make it? And there are a whole ton of things along the way, and we've already talked about these today, that can make you feel like I'm not going to get there. The bumps and rocks of the road that make you feel like you're going to just get smashed to pieces and you're not going to make it to your destination. Will you make it? Maybe some of you have come today and you have this week perhaps sinned in some way. And you've put on the show for your friends and your youth group members and you've sung the songs. But inside you know. And you're feeling guilty and you're thinking, I'm not sure I'm going to make this. I'm not sure I'm going to get to the destination of heaven. For some of you, you're battling with a temptation. Perhaps some of you older guys, you know, because you've been well taught that you shouldn't go out with a non-Christian, and yet there's the temptation there because you're getting on really well with someone. And the temptation's there, and you're just thinking, man, do you know what? This is too much of a temptation for me. I'm not sure I'm going to make it. For some of you, maybe there's this big trouble that's hit in your life, and you think, I'm not sure I'm going to make it, because I'm not sure I can trust God through these things. And you're looking at the goal, you're looking at the prize, but you're saying, will I make it? And that, friends, and we need to kind of work at this in the last session, get to the gym. That is where we need to remember this third truth about a Christian. Here it is. We are kept. We're kept. Now, what does that word mean? We're kept by Jesus Christ, but we are kept. Now, this word kept literally means guarded, protected, shielded, handled with care. That's what this word kept means. So think about this piano, okay? My wife's precious piano. What happened to it? It was lifted onto this lorry. It was strapped in and it was covered in a cloth. I said to my wife, don't worry. Look what they've done to it. They've kept it. It's protected. That's what it means to be guarded, to be protected. Do any of you remember the Olympics when they were running around with the Olympic torch? Do you remember that? And they carried that big journey. Did it come through Bristol at all? It did come through Bristol. Anybody there? Yeah. Do you know what? It was amazing. I watched it on TV a few times. And you've got this torch, okay? This torch is being carried along and different people are running with it. Now, I don't know if you noticed, but when the torch was being carried along, there were two men running alongside the crowd, side to side of it. Did you see them? Massive guys. I mean, they were beasts. And what do they do? You know, they're looking all cool, just kind of running along with their little thing on the side. But as soon as anyone tried to grab the torch, what did they do? Did anyone see it? What happened? Yes. Oh, it was a glorious thing. I've watched it too many times on YouTube. There's one particular clip, if you go. It's like this guy runs out from the crowd to try and grab the torch. And these very innocent-looking men jogging on, suddenly, boom! It was like this guy was smothered on the floor. Like, you trying to get this torch? You know, they were absolutely smashed them into the ground. Why? Because the torch was guarded. That's their job. They were guarding this torch so that it got to its destination. Now, that's the picture you've got to have in your head. Kept. Guarded. Protected. And that's the picture we need to have in our head if you are a Christian today. If you are a follower of our Lord Jesus, you are kept. You are guarded. Now, does that mean that as you do life, nothing bad will happen to you? No, it doesn't. But here's what it does mean. I want to show you three things. If you want to know what it means to be kept, then here it is. The first thing is this. You are kept by Jesus. He is the one who is protecting you. When I was at school, probably some similar age to some of you guys, we had to do rugby as part of our lessons. You have to do rugby? Yeah, yeah. Now, you see, the thing is, I have to confess something. I really love rugby now, okay? And actually, I played for quite a lot of years as an adult. But at school, I hated it. I could not think of anything worse than in the middle of the day having to put on some shorts and a t-shirt and have to get out and get muddy and get hit by other people. And that was like the worst idea to me ever. So I had this tactic. It was a very simple tactic. There was a guy in our class called Paul. And Paul was massive. Okay, he's the sort of 13-year-old. You know, you've probably got them in your class. He's the 13-year-old who has a beard and is twice the size of everyone else. And I had a very simple tactic when I played rugby at school. One, get on Paul's team. Number two, stay near Paul. That was it. That's all I did in PE. That's what I did. I made sure that I stood near this giant of a 13-year-old, and if it was my turn to carry the ball, I'd just stay near Paul, because no one was going to tackle me, because they'd just get sat on by this beast of a 13-year-old. And if he had the ball, I'd just stay behind him, because I'm not going to take any hits, because he was just plowing his way to the try line. It was a very simple tactic. Stay near Paul. That was it. That's how I survived rugby at school. Now, as a Christian, when there's trouble around you, what's your tactic? Can I tell you what your tactic should be? Stay near Jesus. Stay near Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is the one who keeps you. Jesus is the beast of a 13-year-old, as it were. who you are totally safe when you are near. Let me show you in verse 1 again. We have a look. It says in verse 1 of Jude, those who are kept for or by Jesus Christ. You are kept by Jesus. When you become a follower of our Lord Jesus, now this is a weird picture, okay, but I want you to just work with it because it is a Bible picture. You're like the piano that is being lifted into the van and strapped in and covered with a cloth. Now you're thinking, how does that work? But it's the idea of being... So when you read the New Testament, do you notice that sometimes it says you are safe in Christ? This in Christ word. Now you get in a car, don't you? And you get in a house and you go in a van. But what about in Christ? What does that mean? Well, it's a picture. It's a picture of being kept safe in Jesus Christ. Protected by Jesus Christ. So think about a story that lots of you will know, all of you will know probably, the story of Noah and the ark. Noah got inside the ark, and the ark kept him safe. Safe in this case from judgment, but it's the idea of being in something that keeps you safe. And that's what this language is. Jesus Christ, being connected to him as you become a follower of Jesus, is like being in Christ. He guards you. He protects you. One old writer puts it like this, which I think is a cool image. He says, Jesus Christ is the cabinet wherein God's jewels are kept safe. Now, it's a bit old school, but think of a vault. You know those little things when you get the cartoons and they twiddle the dial and there's this big thing? Jesus Christ is like the vault. He's like the safe. And you, and this is, do you think this is cool? He calls you God's jewels. Why are you God's jewel if you're a Christian today? Because you are saved at a price. You are precious to Jesus. You belong to him. And where does he keep you? He keeps you safe in Christ. He protects you. He guards you. Or if you want one more picture of it, think of Jesus like the bodyguard that runs alongside you. And when trouble comes that's going to knock you off course, what does he do? Boom! He smothers it to the ground. It's not going to get you because he keeps you. He keeps you. As a Christian, you have the best, not bodyguard actually, but a soul guard. The one who keeps your soul. The one who keeps you from falling. You are kept by Jesus Christ. And that's why I had those words read out to you from John's Gospel earlier. Because in John's Gospel, a bit later as well, in chapter 10, it says, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hands. There's another picture. Where are you today as a Christian? You thought about this? Yes, you're in a building in Bristol. I have no idea where in Bristol we are. Headley Park, is that right? Here you are, you're in a building in Headley Park. That's one way to answer the question. Can I tell you another way to answer the question? You're in the hand of Jesus Christ. That's where we are right now if we're Christians. Safe in his hand. And no one will snatch you from his hand. That's the promise. That's what it means to be kept by Jesus. As he says elsewhere, I shall lose none of those that have been given to me. Jesus is in the business of keeping people safe. Do you know that? He's in the business of protecting people. And how can I be so sure? How can I be so sure today that Jesus keeps people like this safe? Well, think about what we've been learning today. You were called. You were invited. You responded. You belong. He loves you. He gave his life for you. And then he keeps you. He loves you today. So why do you think that he won't keep you, protect you, if he's done all those things for you? In Hebrews 7, let me tell you something about Jesus, which may surprise you. Do you know what Jesus is doing for you right now? Does anyone know what he's doing? Yeah, that's a good answer. So John 14. That's a good answer. He's protecting you. Yeah. Do you know how he's protecting you? Can I tell you something? Hebrews 7 verse 25 says, therefore he is able to save completely those who come to God through him because he lives to intercede for you. Do you know what Jesus is doing for us right now if you're a Christian? He's interceding for us. He's praying for us. Now, how that works, I don't know, and I wouldn't confess to understand it, but he is praying for us. He is praying for us that we might be kept safe in him, by him. That's part of his work to keep us. Will I make it? If you're a Christian here today, will you make it? Yes, because you're kept by Jesus. And here's the second thing that means to be kept. You're kept by Jesus, but you are kept for heaven. And we have a lot of Amazon deliveries in our house, partly because we have so many children and so many birthdays to do. So we think it's just sensible. It's dangerous to take young children out to a shop. We've decided this. It's just they just pick up everything. And then, you know, sometimes I get to the checkout with my trolley, and my children have just piled it up with things. Like, I'm putting things on thinking, did I pick that up? I don't remember picking that up. You know, when you've got some weird alien flake cereal in your thing, you're thinking, where did that come from? So the thing is, it's dangerous to go shopping. So we have deliveries. But you know the thing about deliveries, don't you? You get this kind of guaranteed delivery. Guaranteed to be delivered to your house. Guaranteed for the next day. Guaranteed. Now listen. When it comes to the Lord Jesus, he guarantees your delivery. Where to? To heaven. So go back to my piano, my wife's precious piano. Here it is, it's in the van, but it wasn't going to live on the van. That wasn't its place, that wasn't its new home. It was being taken from one place to another place, from one home to another home. And the same is true for you as a Christian. You are being kept for your new home. You are being taken to and delivered to your new home by Jesus Christ. So just have a look at verse 24 of Jude again. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. It's the same word, keep you, protect you. So that you get to heaven. That's what this is a description of. Without fault and with great joy. This place where we're presented to God. Now there's loads we could say about this verse because it's amazing. Like the very fact that possibly we could get presented to God without a fault. That's incredible. Because I have many faults. But by trusting Jesus, we're taken there and presented without fault. And it will be a day of great joy. And that, if you are a Christian, is your guaranteed destination. You are kept by Jesus for heaven. We are being kept and guarded for that moment when the Lord Jesus presents you or you or you to God the Father without fault and with great joy. Can you imagine that? It's a picture here, isn't it? The smile on his face, as it were. Look at this one. I got this one through. This Nathan, he's a total miracle. How on earth did he get here? Well, I kept him. It's all joy and all credit to Jesus. Jesus keeps us for heaven. Will you make it to heaven? Yes. Because Jesus is keeping you for heaven. You're kept and guarded. In Philippians 1 verse 6, and if I get this right, it says this, that Paul is confident that he who began a good work in you will bring it on to completion. That's a cool verse, isn't it? That he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. God, using the Lord Jesus, will get you to heaven. You are kept and you are guarded. You are a guaranteed delivery for heaven. Did you know that? That's what this term kept should bring to mind. I'm kept by Jesus and I'm kept for heaven. And then finally, here we go. This is the last one. You are kept, and here's the big one, from falling. You are kept from falling. Recently, I helped my 4-year-old daughter to ride her bike. And she's probably the most petite of all our children. And so if there was anyone I was nervous about learning to ride a bike, it was her. And she'd sit on this little bike with her little puppy dog eyes, and she'd go, Daddy, I don't want to fall off. And I'm like, well, you know, you've got a couple of choices as a parent at that stage. You know, wait till you get there, but you'll find out. So you can either go for the hard dad approach, which is, right, doesn't matter if you fall off, take you to the top of the tallest hill, shove you down, off you go, good luck to you, see you later at the bottom, hope you learn to ride. That's one approach, isn't it? But the other approach, which is the big softy approach, is that you run alongside the bike. And as she's learning to ride, you hold the saddle just slightly so that when she wobbles off one direction, you just pull it back up a bit. And when she wobbles the other direction, you just pull it back up a bit. And that's how you do it. You stop her from falling so that she's learning to ride her bike. Now that is the picture that I want you to have of the Lord Jesus. That the Lord Jesus runs beside you, tapping the saddle every so often. Why? Because, Daddy, I don't want to fall off. The Lord Jesus keeps you from falling. Now, what do we mean by falling? Okay? I don't know if this works, but the idea, so there's falling, isn't there? Like, falling. And then there's falling. Do you know what I mean by that? So there's kind of falling where you're going to just trip up a little bit, and you got down on one knee. And then there's falling, which is like, oh man, I've completely lost. So think about the Total Wipeout course again. There are people who stumble on the Total Wipeout course. And they're like, they trip up a bit, you're kind of down on one hand and knee, and then they get up again. That's falling or stumbling. But then there's people who fall off the course, isn't there? Like, you know, like the ones we saw in the video where they just kind of bounce on one of these balls and shoot off into outer space somewhere. That's falling, isn't it? Where you're off the course. And the Lord Jesus, and here's the point, the Lord Jesus will keep you from falling, the big one, crashing off the course. He keeps us from not making it to the destination. And I want to say to you guys as we get near to the end today that that should be a huge comfort to you. It should be a huge comfort to you to know that the Lord Jesus, the risen Lord Jesus, will stop you, if you are one of his people, from crashing out of the course. We need to lift our eyes to the one who keeps you from falling. You need to stop looking at yourself. You see, it's easy to think then, I'll get all cocky and say, oh, well, I'll, you know, that's cool. Nothing can knock me off the course. I'll just do what I want. No. You look to the one who keeps you from falling. When you feel like you're going to fall and crash out, you need to remind yourself you're kept by Jesus. Let me just give a few examples, okay? And this should help you. So when big trouble comes in your life, when big trouble comes along, whether it's a family disaster or illness or something hard happens, then actually the thing, you know, it feels sometimes like God has hidden his face from you. And when that's the case, you need to lift your eyes to Jesus and say, Jesus will keep me from falling at this moment. Jesus will get me through this. Jesus is guaranteeing my delivery to my destination. And you stick close to Jesus. What about when you mess up again? If you're anything like me, you mess up lots. You fail God lots. What about that sin that you just keep repeating? Lying to your parents, or, you know, getting in trouble at school, or whatever it might be. This sin that you just keep coming back to. Can I tell you that when you stumble, when you trip up, when you sin, Eve, if you are a follower of our Lord Jesus, he will not let you fall off the course. Now, let me give an example of this, okay? Because this might help it make it real. There's an example to someone someone in the Bible that really encourages me, and it's the example of Peter, the disciple. Because Peter is an example of someone who is kept by Jesus, kept to the point that even his own sin cannot knock him off the course. So Peter, on the night Jesus was betrayed, he pretended he didn't know Jesus 3 times. He tripped up, big time. And if we'd have been with Peter when he sat outside that courtyard weeping his heart out because he knew he'd let Jesus down, actually, what do we find? That the Lord Jesus kept him, because he then gets up, repents, turns back to Jesus. Jesus welcomes him in, and he is kept by the Lord Jesus. And so if you've tripped up, if you've sinned in some way and you're here today, can I just say to you, get up. Go back to Jesus. Cling to him and keep going with him, because Jesus forgives you and will keep you from falling. That's got to encourage you, hasn't it? It's got to encourage you that even your own mess cannot keep you from making it to your destination. When you're facing a temptation to sin, look to Jesus. Will you make it? Yes, you will. Is there anything that can knock you off the course? According to the Bible, no. If you are truly a Christian. Now, does that mean then, here's a question for you, a couple of questions as we finish. Does that mean you should not be afraid of falling? Well, that's a good question, isn't it? If Jesus is keeping you, should you be afraid of falling? Well, in one way, no. But in another way, yes. Because if you're afraid of falling, what it should do is drive you back to the one who keeps you. The danger in trouble, and when we feel like we're going to fall, is that we run away from Jesus. But actually, we should run to Jesus. Because Jesus is the one who keeps you. Knowing that we're kept safe by Jesus should drive us to Jesus. It should make you stick with him like glue. Because he's the one who keeps you from falling. Let me finish very quickly with this, okay? And then we're done, because you guys are looking tired, and our time's nearly gone. When you feel like you are going to fall, you need to say to yourself, I'm kept. I'm kept by Jesus. Because as you do that, what you realize is this, that the one you look to, that the Lord Jesus, his grip on you is much tighter than your grip on him. That's what the gospel reminds you of. That's what it means that you're kept. When you feel like you're going to fall, look to the one who keeps you, because it reminds you that his grip on you is much tighter than your grip on him. And that is how you will help yourself. That is why in the morning you need to stand in the mirror and you say, I don't know what today holds, but I'm called, I'm loved, I'm kept. I'm called, I'm loved, and kept. That is the gospel in three words. And that is what will lift your eyes to Jesus and keep you secure. Friends, it's been a joy to look at that with you today. And I'll be praying for you guys as I go back. That will be true. If you could pray for that for me as well, that we'll be those who cling on to this truth, that we're called, we're loved, and we're kept. Let's bow our heads and pray together. Father, we thank you so much for these three words. We thank you that if we are followers of the Lord Jesus here today, that these three things are true about us, that we are called, we are loved, and we are kept by the Lord Jesus. And Father, when we feel like we're going to fall this week, or in the coming months, or even in the coming years, please give us the grace to preach the gospel to ourselves, that we might lift our eyes from the mess that we're in and see Jesus, the one who loves us and keeps us. Father, I pray for my friends here, Father, from all sorts of different places and schools and backgrounds, but the same truth keeps us all. And so, Father, give us eyes this week to see what is true. In Jesus' name, amen.